So nice to have you back, Andre.
My pleasure, always.
And let's get started with what's going on in the Middle East and how we can connect it to what has happened in Russia. It seems that it's the same kind of mindset, but we had terrorist attacks in Russia. They were trying to make some sort of insatisfaction within the society to force them to put some sort of pressure on the Russian government. Let's put it that way. And right now in the Middle East, we see that instead of fighting with Hezbollah, they started this type of new type of bombing by exploding the pagers, walkie-talkies. When it comes to their strategy, do you think that they're seeking any sort of upper hand in the battlefield or in the battle that they're having, or it's something beyond that?
Listen, you keep in mind that I'm not obviously a specialist. I underscored it many times that I'm not a specialist in the area. I can only defer to people. But from what I observe, Netanyahu doesn't want to go to jail. This is what is this all about? I mean, and he will go to jail eventually, because, well, Israel, if that hasn't been enough with the Hamas, which they were supposed to defeat in 2 weeks, now we are a whole year, and they're primarily fighting civilians there. So they now want to go and face Hezbollah. And Hezbollah is a completely different game. Even with the considering the fact that, well, it's pretty much terrorist act, we can say, because civilians died, not Hezbollah-related people have been harmed, many of them. So, and yeah, it's all the basically this whole thing is one of the links of the larger chain of the events, which of course looks at the collapse of the combined West, which is profound now and very well pronounced, ranging from the economic troubles. Like, just to give you an example, I wrote yesterday that the beer consumption in Germany is, I mean, one after another, historic breweries have been shutting down. People in Brussels, demonstrating against the Audi closing its plant, So yeah, it's all just burning under the feet of these people. They are all nincompoops. They don't know how to run economy. They don't know how to run anything, military and war. And so, and this is just one of the manifestations of the systemic crisis and the collapse of what, today is known as the Western civilization. Israel is the part of the Western civilization. They always push on this narrative about this, Judeo-Christian values. I don't have any Judeo values. I have some Christian values, that's for sure. But other than that, it is a combined West going down in flames. And so Israel's now trying to not only desperately to attack Hezbollah, which of course this operation with them, setting up the front for those pagers or whatever, front company, but also they're helping Ukraine to try to stop Russian UAVs. And so there's a lot of things going on there. So, and they're really not worth discussing, because basically the masks have been dropped. And we can observe now this whole, basically mayhem which they create, but they are losing it, Even by the virtue of the creating this mayhem, they already lost, because they think that for some reason they thought that they're really good militaries. They're not, So basically, and it has been exposed. They have been exposed as paper tigers.
Do you think that one of the reasons was that they wanted to kill a lot of Hezbollah fighters?
Yeah.
The way that they did it, we know that many people are in Lebanon. It seems that I was talking with somebody in Lebanon, a reporter in Lebanon. He said that many people in hospitals and in many people, civilians, they're using these walkie-talkies, and that's why the casualties on the part of civilian is so huge right now. And because it doesn't make sense, they didn't know that. Did they know what would be the outcome of this? Just killing civilians, not hitting.
Oh, they would love to kill civilians. This is what they do. Okay, let's drop any pretense. It's a genocide against Palestinians. You know what? I mean, when the October 7th started, I stated from the get-go that there are no good people on both sides. You know, Hamas are not your, children. You know, they are not. They are a militant organization with some pretty gruesome objectives. Sometimes they threw the Palestinian population of Gaza under the bus, and strategically they thought that would pay off. In some sense it did, but the point is, Israelis, oh come on, I mean, Larry wrote yesterday, and it's all about hubris, arrogance. They think that they are exceptional, so for them, I mean, Arabs, they don't view Arabs as people. So if they kill, nurses, which they did, in their hospitals, it's fine for them, This is how they live. This is what they have become. And it's pretty much, as I already stated, it's one of the links in this whole chain of the events. And this is what, yesterday, I spoke about it today in my video. They had this guy, they took the prisoner of war in Kursk area. They have been instructed to shoot at the passenger train, to kill people in the passenger train. It's a terrorism, pure and simple. This is the only thing they can do in London or Washington or Tel Aviv. That's what they are good at, The rest, fight real war, they are not good. And there you go. So they will be now bombing Lebanon. They thought that they would, kill, most people in Hezbollah, command, circuit. They certainly got some of them. But the point is, I think so, they simply enraged people even more, and that's going to stiffen the resolve. So they always get the opposite result, because obviously most of them, they never study physics. They never studied real war. And what can I say? So that's what they do.
Yeah. And you talk about what's going on in the Kursk region, Andre. And what do we know? What is the latest information on what's going on?
Well, in terms of the armed forces of Ukraine are killed, whole U.S. division was wiped out. The equivalent of the U.S. Army division has been wiped out. Yesterday it was 14,600 estimates. Russians are extremely conservative. So we're looking at now the four full brigades, including 82nd and 61st, and have been wiped out. From the, literally, physically. So if you look at the Leopards, they're burning again. As I already stated, Kursk land is not good for German tanks. They just cannot get a lucky break there. They will always be burned. And, so what can I say? It's a slaughter, essentially. And Russians are, again, closing the cauldron. They control now pretty much most of the roads. And that is why they basically try to bring in reserves. They allow reserves, some of them enter. It's not really deep. It's about 5-7 kilometers into the Kursk region. And then they get obliterated. And you can see it every day. There's just absolutely a huge body of the video evidence of what is happening there. Some of those things are gruesome. I mean, you will see they drop their wounded. What they do, they torture Russian POWs. They torture civilians. They rape civilians. Many of those things are perpetrated by British and American and other mercenaries. So, and what can I say? That's the only thing they're really good at. Some Australian jerk, he's like a UAV operator. He says, yeah, I'm going to be killing, those Russian correspondents, Russian reporters. Well, that's their level. Yeah, that's what they do. They can kill child, woman, so that's pretty much. They paraded themselves, and as I already stated, if there was any reputation left in the U.S. military, it's gone now. Russians are looking at them as, slow lives, basically.
The other key city right now is Pokrovsk. And what's going on there and how Russia is Russia advancing?
Oh, no, Russians are advancing, but I explained that on the number of occasions, I believe, including last week, that they will not go into Pokrovsk directly in force. There are some groups operating in Pokrovsk already until their all flanks will be basically cleaned out. And the front line will be, well, pretty much, if you look at it north-south, it will be pretty much a straight line. And I presented the example of the Berlin offensive operation because Russians, the Red Army was, Second Belarusian Front, was already within the striking distance of Berlin by February of 1945. But what they do then, if you take a look, Zhukov does, Rokossovsky, Konev, then suddenly they stop, you know, do not advance on Berlin, and the one of the fronts, the Second Belarusian Front, turns north to Pomerania and deals with the Pomeranian army group, the Pomeranian grouping of Wehrmacht. Konev turns south, also deals with it. Then they are equalize the line of defense or the front line by April 16th. If you take a look, you will see yourself, it becomes straight line. And then the assault on Berlin starts. Same here, just repeated on the smaller scale. So it's, you know, it's Operation Art 101. You don't run with the Russians already had this bulge, which is about 20 kilometers deep into their defenses and already broke through the two out of three strong holes and defensive lines. So now they're cleaning up like Ugledar to the south, you know, Selidovo and things of this nature. So until the line evens out a little bit, because you don't want to, you know, have your flanks exposed to possible attack. So they will not go into the Pokrovsk in force. But as I already stated, already some groups are already in Pokrovsk.
Yeah, to understand the front line right now and how much Russia is willing to advance in on the battlefield, we have to understand the cities, Andrei. How, because we don't know, for instance, in Kiev, is the Russian language dominant in this?
It's dominant even in the armed forces of Ukraine. If you listen, because they begin to, you know, they use Russian profanity, they communicate with each other on Russian. It has nothing to do with language. They can speak Russian, but there are no friends practically anymore for Russia in that territory. But just to give you understanding what many people still do not, first, Russia last week, oh no, pardon me, this week, already liberated another 12, you know, settlements, villages and towns. So the advancement is continuous. But now Russians actively attack the right shore of Dnieper, which is called the, what is called the point of the temporary, well, in Russian it sounds funny, dislocation, or literally the point of the temporary location of the armed forces of Ukraine. They have now the right bank or right shore, of Dnieper burning. So that tells you a little bit. Plus Kupiansk, if you look at Kupiansk, it's complete catastrophe. So it just, so yeah, it's advancement every day, kilometer two, you know, three somewhere. And you can see yourself now the bottleneck in Kursk area is closing. It's less than 2 kilometers there. So yeah, it's a physical annihilation.
Is Odessa similar to Kiev or is different the reality of the population, the ethnicities living there?
Well, most of Jews, not all, left obviously from Odessa. Odessa was also known for its vibrant Jewish community and wonderful, Odessa Jewish culture with the incredible, you know, music, anecdotes, and it's gone now. So many Russians have been persecuted. A lot of transplants from the Western Ukraine, that was the idea. They were transplanting those people in order to make those, territories and especially critical cities more, Ukraine-oriented, if you wish. So it has been accomplished to a certain degree, not completely. So how many and how much of this pro-Russian sentiment is there? Who knows? You know, it's, as I already stated, there are very few friends, if any, for Russians in on the basically right bank of the Dnieper River, you know, on the other side. So, but who knows? We'll see. You know, people do change. I mean, you know, general population, especially Ukrainian general population. When I talked about, this is not anecdote. In 2014, when Russia returned Crimea, and they said, you know, Ukraine, they told Ukrainians, you know, who worked in, for example, famous Black Sea Fleet hospital, which was at that time joint operation between Russian Black Sea Fleet and whatever the name of this naval units of Ukraine. And they were like, oh, sure, yeah, we're living for Ukraine. And then literally somebody gives them the printout. This is not anecdote. This is not thing. And they look at their payment rates for doctors and nurses. Well, guess what? Many of them really rethought it really fast, you know, just within a couple of hours. Then some say, oh, yeah, we're Russians, you know. So there you go. It's very simple, you know. And that's what general population there in Ukraine will be doing. And that is the one of those horrible dilemmas to have for Russians, because from one point of view, you understand that, it already is essentially destroyed the Ukrainian state as such, you know. But you have to deal with people who, they are backstabbers, many of them. So, and that is why Russians tread very cautiously. And again, do not forget, Ukraine for Russia is just one of the theaters of operation. Many people did not pay attention to what was happening on the Pacific area, especially after Russians held, together with Chinese, no less, Okean 2024 strategic naval exercise. My gosh, Russia is, propping up its forces in the Pacific area tremendously. And if you take a look at the training between Russians and Chinese navies, this is not your like courtesy maneuvering, you know, the operation of saving, you know, people in distress and things like that, which usually all navies do, or doing, you know, this, they put themselves into this wonderful order, you know, the helicopter flies and shoots these beautiful rows and files, you know, rank and files of ships. No, they were purely combat tasks, from anti-submarine warfare to using of the, you know, cruise missiles and things of this nature, air defense of the order. So this is total interoperability have been trained there between Russians and Chinese. And so, yeah, that's another theater. Now we have, obviously, Middle East. But again, Russia, in terms of Middle East, it's a, you know, fine dance. You have to do it this way, you know. But who knows about Middle East?
Andrey, you think that the hypersonic missile that Houthis used to attack Israel was a Iranian-made or Russian-made?
No. Houthis do not have hypersonic missiles, okay? What they talk about it from the point of view that, okay, it's operational, tactical operational ballistic missile, for example. And those ballistic missiles, yeah, naturally they, acquire what is called the burnout hypersonic speed. For example, Ukraine uses that, you know, their bunch of their own ballistic missiles, which of course, they reach Mach 6, you know, on the, you know, once they approach the target. But it's really different. Hypersonic weapons are weapons which operate totally within atmosphere, and they control and maintain the hypersonic flight, including the powered flight. And Houthis don't have that. But yeah, they have ballistic missiles with the range. But rumor has it, the bird brought it, that there were some movements of Russian Navy and Russian supply ships going somewhere in that area. Who knows what they carry there? So yeah, who knows? I'm being facetious, of course. I mean, we pretty much know what is going to happen. And Russians already explained to NATO that you want to have problems with the rest of your navies, we can provide them, you know. Houthis are a good way to go.
And the other thing, Andrei, was the meeting between Starmer and Biden. Mm-hmm. And there are many talks about this meeting. And it seems that United Kingdom, together with France, they were in favor of sending long-range missiles to Ukraine. But at the end, it seems the Biden administration, I don't know who's responsible for this decision. They're not, they said no to United Kingdom. What's your understanding? What's your take on this meeting?
Oh, no, I mean, it's very simple. Through some appropriate channels also, apart from Vladimir Putin going out there and staying clearly, you know, first you have to understand, and Washington knows it. If Russia wipe out tomorrow the Cyprus air base, which Royal Air Force has, nothing going to happen. Really, there will be a lot of hysteria, let's go and fight Russians. But yeah, Russians, they can go and sink a couple of the Royal Marine, Marine Nationale, the French Navy frigates. Nothing going to happen. There will be a lot of hysteria, as I already stated. There will be, but no, that was a clear message. Now, militarily, London and Paris, they are nobodies. They're just, just lab dogs. And they will do as Washington says. And this is exactly what happened. But as our good friends, from Duran, and obviously Alexander Mercouris, he is British, citizen, he knows Britain really well. And he says correctly that Starmer is obsessed with Russia. And I today, when I was talking to my in my video, I can repeat it here that, but then again, do not quote me on that. And this is not some kind of propaganda or psyops. And that is why I'm strictly stating it. This is not yet confirmed, but it has a good probability of being true. So you see, that's, I make this kind of, disclosure, so to speak, and caveat. But evidently, one of the reasons why they're being driven mad about Russians also, apart from, most of them considering Russians subhumans, is the fact that obviously SAS, the Special Air Service, which they worship there in Britain because they don't know better, got it ass-handed in Gostomel in 2022 by people from Russian paratroop divisions. And these guys, so we have to wait and see once those details will emerge. Many details will emerge once the military part in Ukraine is largely complete. But for now, there is a reason to think that this is a good probability, reliable info. So, and yeah, they are butthurt, which they should be, because they are nobodies. And it's difficult to recognize oneself that you are nobody militarily and politically. They still think that somehow City of London or London City or city in London matters. It doesn't. And especially against the once the Kazan and BRICS meeting comes in October, that will be the pretty much final nail in the basically coffin of dollar. And after that, it will develop in a completely different track, although we already can see how it develops. And that means United Kingdom becoming what it should become, and it is in its nature, it's small island with unhappy mixed woke population, with economy of the third world, with the exception of couple things like Rolls Royce and things of this nature. And that's it. It's, they are nobodies. they are really pissed about that, but yeah, there are only three superpowers in the world, as I already constantly say. It's China, United States, and Russia. How they go, how this triangle goes, the world goes, you know. United States is declining, you know, Russia and China are ascending, and it's up to United States now to decide how it wants to be seen in the world, because obviously United States is in a itself in the national calamity, and it's a serious national calamity, which for the first time raises the question of United States existing as their unified country.
And the other part of this meeting was how the Biden administration came to a conclusion that they're not going to send long-range missiles to Ukraine. And what was the reason, in your opinion? It was Pentagon, the people, military people, they were saying that that's not a good decision, or policymakers?
I think so. There are still some fairly competent and even courageous, maybe, people in Pentagon, albeit I don't know how the system itself is utterly corrupt. I mean, but there are people who have a good operational mind, and they explain to policymakers, so to speak, because American policymakers are illiterate. I mean, literally. I mean, they can read, they can understand syllables and things like that. They are illiterate in practically any, sphere of the human activity, especially warfare. So, but they explain to them that it might end up really badly. And, it was Ray McGovern who, I don't think so, he was on your show. I believe it was on Judge Knapp's when he stated neocons and those people in Washington, they have no clue about the proportions and the scale of what their response could be. So some military people from Pentagon evidently came to them and explained to those nincompoops that if it comes down to strategic nuclear exchange, the United States will cease to exist, and you will cease to exist with your families, with your, their corruption ties to whatever military-industrial complex. U.S. military-industrial complex will cease to exist, you know? And so evidently somebody explained it to them, because Russia is ready. And I'm on record for a while that Russians are ready for that. And that is why when people do not understand, well, some people understand in Pentagon that, as I already stated, Russians did not use actually the full force in Ukraine. It's merely, which explains why Zelensky is so desperate for Russians to declare a real war. They need to come up with some operation, they call it a terrorist act, which will, create the outcry in Russian society to freaking flatten the Kiev. This is the only way for him to escape. It is also, to a degree, the way for the escape for those people in Washington and London. But Russia has reserves, which are, basically allotted for some other activities if it, God forbid, comes down to it. And we have the situation, and somebody explained to them, United States, if you look attentively at United States proper, you see, I have a vested interest not to allow this develop to into some kind of, God forbid, World War III. I live near Seattle. Hello. I mean, we're going to be first to go, So that will be very sarcastic and ironic in my life if I will get obliterated by Russian Navy or Russian strategic missile force. So that's kind of, very clear understanding of that, and the message was received, Mr. Peskov stated. But yeah, those chihuahuas like, Starmer and Macron, who is facing their impeachment, I don't know how successful they will be. Nothing's going to save anymore France, Germany, or United Kingdom, but they try. Let them, So as I already stated, the negotiations could be only between two players, Moscow and Washington, period. The rest doesn't matter.
And the question many people, as you mentioned, many people are asking, what is the main goal of France together with the United Kingdom in this continuation of the conflict in Ukraine? And there is an article in Bloomberg, they're talking about no matter who's going to win in 2024, the United States would leave Europe and would leave them alone in that region with the conflict in Ukraine. And can that, in your opinion, is that the reason that they're trying to do their best in order to get the United States more involved in the conflict in Ukraine? Because they know at the end of the day, nobody going to be like Biden and his administration when it comes to the conflict in Ukraine, because both of these candidates, how?
Yeah, it's one of the factors. It's never a single factor, but you have to understand also, and it has been repeated ad nauseam by me, the European elites are degenerates primarily. 90% of them are degenerates. I mean, these are badly educated people. They are, and again, when I say educated, I mean literally, they are primarily political scientists, lawyers, which is not, or journalists or what have you. So, or professional politicians, that is to say professional BS, who will sell their families for staying in power. So that's what they are. And of course, this whole generation of the imbeciles such as Scholz or Annalena Baerbock or Macron, they have been brought up on this globalist propaganda and ideas of Atlanticism. They believe that United States is there to protect them. United States knew damn well that Russians and Soviet Union, for example, had no intentions to start the World War III. And so, but they lied. That's what they do. That's pretty much their only qualification. And the question is today that, of course, they are, scared crapless, basically, of the fact that United States will withdraw from European affairs, because all of them, their livelihoods, their families, they themselves, they are the products of the globalist, Atlanticist, and neocon propaganda, which primarily originated in the United States. United States correctly adjusted Europeans as their, people without principles and who have been completely, emotionally depressed after what they committed to continent in World War II. So, and they brought up this generation of people who are, as they say, they called Scholz a liver sausage. Yeah, that's who they are. And they do not know what real industry is. They committed suicide. Some people in Russia stupidly thought that they will not do that. I'm on record, and I was writing about disintegration. They will not only commit suicide, they will ask United States to give them the most punishable and most torturous way of dying. And guess what? This happened. So you have now a bunch of their, those guys running around in Brussels. They, as I already stated, breweries, historical steel mills, historical breweries are closing in, Germany. Their cars are not competitive, Volkswagen or whatever, Audi. Who cares who runs who? It's over, As I already stated, if they will be able to grab onto and at least preserve it in some sense, Siemens, maybe that's the only high-tech industry they will have. They don't have any high-tech industries anymore other than that primarily the what I called iPhone syndrome. The people from with the humanities degrees and inability to understand what high technology is, who judge everything by iPhones. They think that iPhones are the high tech, and maybe they will be able to hold on to Airbus. But even that in the long run will be questionable, because United States is highly interested in removing Airbus from the Boeing's path. Granted, Boeing itself survives together with the United States. So we have a kind of, it's a mess. It's just freaking dirty, bloody mess. And you have those nincompoops who never experienced any difficulty in their lives other than their deciding what kind of the Ivy League or Oxford, college they will go. And then suddenly running scared like those, deer in the headlights. So you cannot help it. And we don't see any FDR or Eisenhowers on the horizon. There's simply none. Most of them are, my God, it's just pathetic, really.
Yeah. And the other thing, it seems that the pattern of being part of the European Union is to be part of NATO, then becoming part of the European Union. Yeah. And right now, the Zelensky administration, Le Monde reported that Zelensky administration is asking to Biden with their plan of victory plan, they call it. And one of the points in this plan is to, at least before leaving office, Biden invites them into NATO. And do you think that, I don't believe anybody would do that other than Biden, Joe Biden. And do you think that would be possible for them?
No, he can invite whatever he wants. It's not going to happen. And again, when people talk about any kind of victory and all that, you know, I read my lips. Victory is mathematics, okay? First, you have to understand, most people in Washington, they don't know what mathematics is, because real mathematics, geometry, and things of this nature doesn't exist anymore as a proper subject, even in the, school, curriculum across, Europe and across United States. But this mathematics is what is called, and I repeat, and ad nauseam, it's called required force. To fight a war, you have to be able to deliver, to accumulate required force. It is a complex calculation. There are many, models which go in, which obviously, general staffs deal with. They sit there, they have people with economic backgrounds, mathematics backgrounds, all of them engineers, so you have a professional military who have it all, and they have to sometimes invite people from the outside, like physicists, real physicists, unlike some other people, and you know whom I'm talking about. And, the mathematicians, they come in, they say, okay, here's the calculation. Here's what we need to do. Here how we have to design doctrine. Here how we have to design strategy. Here how we have to design the TOE, table of the organization and equipment, because combat models, combat experiences, combat statistics, they tell us this, that. And then you begin to create, you have the general staffs, they develop it. United States doesn't have general staff. First, European armed forces, I joke. Even combined, they I joke. They are, United Kingdom is just prime example. So the same goes, as I already stated, remove the nuclear deterrent from French, they are pathetic, So, and when you look at this, suddenly there comes the question, okay, United States is not force which can win in Europe, period. It doesn't help force. And so if they want to try to, run the draft, good luck with that. We'll see how long the United States as a state, unified state, will last, okay? So, and not to speak about the quality or man quality. People, Americans who went into the World War II, there were many tough, courageous and, determined people. Same goes even for Vietnam. By the time, of course, when the U.S. Army was completely demoralized, but there were many, real good fighters. Today, that's the whole other story. You're not going to get any decent human material in the draft within the United States. And so when you look at this, there is no force. There's nothing. And then you suddenly have the what we have today. It's all over even American media. CNN reports on it 2 days ago. The United States is down to the bottom of the barrel in terms of the stocks. They cannot provide. First, it's lousy equipment to start with, from those game-changer weapon systems which do not work. They suck, honestly. They're badly designed and they cannot defend anything So, and then who are you going to be sending there to fight Russians? With the Russians having, I would say, and especially since this week, Vladimir Putin signed the ordinance to increase the number of the combat troops by 180,000. Russia is becoming second largest army in the world. And we're talking about the combined combat troops. And So
it's 2.4 million.
Soldiers. Yeah, out of them 1.5 million combat troops, ground forces which are capable. So yeah, we are suddenly beginning to reach some really serious levels. Guess why it is done for? Yeah, if NATO decides to commit suicide by the cop, you know. So, and as I already stated, you have to be able to collect those troops. You have to be able to pre-deploy them in assembly areas. Well, what can I say? Assembly areas is a juicy, fat target for Russia, which outproduces by order of magnitude the whole NATO combined, United States including, when the long-range fires, including smart, high-precision standoff weaponry. So there you go. Well, yeah, do whatever you want. You see yourself over the front. Basically, what at this stage armed forces of Ukraine do, they primarily sit in the bunkers. They hide in the bunkers because the moment they get out there, you have the drones flying in. And just since 2023, Vladimir Putin stated it today while visiting one of the military industrial complex enterprises. Russia increased their production of the UAVs alone 10 times in a year. 10 times. This is a real economy. This is not this BS of, you know, what Lloyd's Insurance, you know, or the Bank of England, you know. Who cares about your money if you don't have divisions and you cannot supply them? And the war is fought not just with the money. It is fought primarily with the real industrial economy. And we have this basically a whole conflict which exposed the NATO for what it is, a paper tiger. United States still retains a significant degree of the naval power, which, you know, but even that is going down. I made a video today about this quick sink. It's ridiculous. Those people still live in the World War II. They're still thinking about the, you know, Midway type or Coral Sea, you know, aircraft carrier fights. I mean, you cannot change them. It's both desperation and ignorance.
Yeah. It's so tragic what's going on in the United States when it comes to the region toward Russia, China, even Middle East. And when it comes to Russia, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it. It was David Symes who was working with Nixon.
Dmitry Symes.
And he's a Russian analyst. He was working with the United States, with the government in the United States, helping them. And right now, shifting to 2024, they're talking that he's a Russian agent. And it's unbelievable how things are changing in the United States with Russiagate. And lately we had Hillary Clinton talking about on MSNBC, and I'm going to play what she said, Andre.
As Mueller indicted a lot of Russians who were engaged in direct election interference and boosting Trump back in 2016. But I also think there are Americans who are engaged in this kind of propaganda. And whether they should be civilly or even in some cases criminally charged is something that would be a better deterrence because.
Yeah. And how do you see these changes that are happening? Don't you think that this is one of the reasons that the United States, the government, is not functioning properly?
Well, it's the main reason, apart from, first, Hillary Clinton is a failure all around. She's unhinged, or as Larry Wilkerson, Colonel Larry Wilkerson stated, or Judge Napolitano yesterday, she's a bitch, you know? So, and he is correct that you need to put those people in the cages because, for example, you have to understand, I'm ethnic Russian, although I'm American citizen and I love this country, you know, we have our home, everything. Practically most of it is our tied to United States. But as a Russian, what she calls for, because I'm ethnic Russian, I have to be persecuted, you know. And fact is, keep in mind, Washington elite, that's how they prepare them in Ivy League and elsewhere. They consider Russians and other people of, you know, subhumans. It's not even racism. It's the sickness of exceptionalism, which is definitely influenced by the what they love to call themselves, many, not all. I want to make very sure, very clear, that but some very active part of the AIPAC, for example, and Jewish professors who teach there, they are considered as chosen people based on some, you know, ancient fairy tales, you know. So, but yeah, they are chosen people, and that is instilled into, you know, American audience, which always was exceptionalist, you know, starting from the, again, when you look attentively and read attentively, even Alexis de Tocqueville, American Democracy, 1837, no less, he talks about this garrulous patriotism. They think because they, which is, of course, now it's a joke. United States is not democracy. It is basically oligarchic totalitarian state, which is getting there. It's probably going to end up with fascism and, well, you know, concentration camps for Russians, for example, may be coming. So, and the point is that, yeah, those people, they do not think that other people are worthy of the American democracy. Most of those people, of course, from the Ivy League and those departments of the political science or government and everything, they themselves are morons. They don't know anything but the what is called the, you know, verbose pseudo-humanitarian sciences, but they believe in that. You know, they confabulate their history, the same as the United States very effectively rewrote the history of the World War II. That's why you cannot get any normal general from the United States armed forces, because most of them who went through the ROTC or the military academies in the West Point or U.S. Naval Academy, they never learned the real history of the World War II. They really still think that, yeah, United States defeated Hitler. They don't understand the price you have to pay to win the war. Hello? No, not a single CIA officer, not a single American serviceman from, you know, the lowest grant to general ever fought in defense of their country, period. No American city or locality suffered any kind of the consequences of the continental warfare. Yet you have those people from the U.S. Army War College, from all those, you know, postgraduate schools, they go out, they are imbeciles. They still consider the United States a continental war power. Well, what continent you're talking about? Mighty Canada, which about to, you know, Canadian bacon is one of the best, you know, as much as I abhor this jerk, you know, the Michael Moore, but that was a genius movie, you know. And now you have Mexico, but Mexico invades, or through Mexico, the invasion is happening not because the United States cannot defeat itself, because obviously American elites do not want to, you know, defend itself. They allow the introduction of all those criminal groups, they, you know, bunch of the immigrants. And they call it, yeah, you know what, it's not humanistic. Well, is it humanistic to basically, you know, importing their misery and poor people? Granted that already through NAFTA, United States moved a dramatic number of the industrial, its own industrial capacity to Mexico, for example. Many people do not understand. One of the, you know, critical American brands, world-renowned Levi's, it's not produced anymore in the United States. It used to be until relatively recently. But even Levi's, you know, those jeans factories, world-renowned, you know, they're in Mexico now and somewhere else. It's all gone. And yet they continue to import this, you know, people whose only skill will be, you know, to abuse their, you know, welfare. There you go. And you know what? They call it hate speech now.
Andrei, when it comes to the NATO strategy in order to confront Russia or even China, here is Stoltenberg talking about the defense budget.
Across the alliance has gone up substantially. All NATO allies now invest at least 2% of GDP in defense or have plans to get there soon. And for the first time, total defense spending across Europe and Canada is above the 2% target. So the good news is that we have delivered on the pledge we made 10 years ago. But the bad news is that this is not longer enough. That is why NATO allies have agreed to spend at least 2% of GDP on defense. And that is why we have agreed on robust defense plans with specific capability targets that outline what each ally needs to provide in terms of weapons, forces, and readiness for our security. To meet these agreed targets, allies will have to spend significantly more than 2% of GDP on defense in the years to come.
Yeah, significantly. How much would that would be?
Stoltenberg was the prime minister of the country whose population is smaller than one of the boroughs of Moscow, okay? So that means already he's unqualified to talk about anything which is related to R&D and technological development. Not a single European leader. And Stoltenberg is already stated, he's Chihuahua. And they don't understand, for example, when I say that Russian economy dwarfs that of Germany, okay? And they worship Germany as the biggest economy in Europe. Just to give you an example, first, most GDP numbers and the way they calculate it in the West are bunk. It's garbage, okay? It's financial legerdemain. They are, you know, they count in GDP, for example, like insurance, okay? Sure. What value does it produce? So, and here is the news. Russia is already working on the sixth generation fighter, which will be capable of flying into space. And it will be hypersonic. So that's at least what is known so far. And the fifth generation of the newest submarines with the incredible capabilities already coming in early 2030s. It is basically 7 years away, six from us. France, if it will decide, or even France, UK, and Germany, if they will decide to develop a real fifth generation fighter, their economies, their bottoms will fall off. Okay, for now they can only grab onto this marvel, of course, and great, you know, achievement, which is Airbus. But in terms of weapon, Europe is not even contestant. Not to speak about the fact that no matter if United States leaves or stays in Europe, Europeans will have American weapons shoved down their throats because United States is not interested in the competition. Granted, it's still going to suck, okay? You saw yourself today, yet another, you know, Leopard burns, you know? So it's they are not good, those weapons, you know? So, and when you look at this, what can I say? Well, France might still try to maintain its, you know, nuclear deterrent. That's about it until France, well, it will completely disintegrate with, I foresee south of France just simply becoming the, Islamic, Arabic, you know, and African enclave, which is already happening. Marseille is not French city anymore. So, and yeah, you already have the tax base, which is pathetic. If you need to tax people and their standard of living, if you look attentively, as I already stated, Germany, UK is the third world now, practically. Okay, you get away from the touristy pass, it's just third world, you know. And same goes for France. They will maintain some kind of the, you know, touristy places, some Airbus, you know, maybe those, you know, jet engines production, they will continue to sell, which is becoming increasingly obsolete Rafale. They have nothing in stock there. They don't have anything. So they don't even have their real, I mean, Ariane was there. It's a good rocket, but there is no serious space program in Europe, for example. How are they going to catch up? They won't. And the only thing they can do, the same as the United States, is to print more money, which, of course, what is a runaway inflation. And if that hasn't been enough when you were paying three, four times more for weapons whose capabilities was three times, worse than, for example, Russian equivalent, you're going to be paying now 7-8 times as Americans do, you know? So as Pentagon does when paying for a military industrial complex to provide them with their, well, crappy weapons, weapon systems. And this is what is happening. So they can spend whatever they want, and they are losing industrial base with an incredible speed. It is just unbelievable, you know? And what is going to be in a couple of years? I don't think so. They are competitive with China. China is the basically workshop of the world. So yeah, they may try to produce, you know, Jaguars, you know, the cars, you know, those expensive, overpriced, you know, pieces of machinery. Ferrari, hey, it's a beautiful car, you know, make no mistake, it's classic. But who will pay $250,000 when you will have to stay in their freaking, you know, the social services to support you into some food bank, which is already happening in Germany. It is happening in France. So there you go.
Yeah. It seems that the only way to reduce the price of these weapons, these expensive weapons coming out of the military industrial complex of the United States, Raytheon and Lockheed Martin and all of the, it would be to ship these companies, this industry to other countries like Vietnam, India. That would be the end of it.
Maybe, yeah, I think so. They need to create a military industrial Walmart in the United States, you know, because otherwise they are not competitive. As I already stated, special military operation exposed, it's completely destroyed any remaining reputation of the NATO weaponry, because it's been obliterated in industrial quantities, and it's just not good. I mean, it's not good for the modern warfare. It's maybe good to fight, you know, some, you know, like they gang raped Serbia, for example, you know, in 1999, but it's not good, I mean, for real war. They want to, they tried it against Russia. They are definitely trying to, you know, run the tests and, you know, test the new type of weapons there. But the problem is, as I already stated, if you look at entirely my today's video, it's quick sync. It's a joke. Those people still live in the World War II paradigm. They don't understand what modern air defense is. Most American generals don't understand what it is. They have no clue. They don't understand the impact of this on the battlefield, because they never had anything like this. They had one, two Scots flying, and even that Patriot couldn't intercept properly. They intercepted some. So now what are you going to do when you have, you know, 250 or 300 3M14s flying at you? I mean, yeah, good luck. You know, so, and this is, and now we will see probably another Israeli humiliation if they didn't humiliate themselves enough in Gaza. And now we have the situation with the Hezbollah, and yeah, they didn't learn. I don't think so they are capable of learning, because everything is done for purely internal political reasons in terms of, you know, preserving your food base. Because you need to live on the donations and bribes from the all kinds of the political and military industrial forces. And as a result, you don't care. Like, you know, the case with Netanyahu, the main reason, obviously, one of the major reasons, that he doesn't want to go to jail. War is the only way for him to basically extend or prolong his agony as the head of state, which in itself is now in the state of agony. And yeah, so what, same goes for NATO, same goes you know, for Europeans. Europe is nobody's anymore.
Yeah, thank you so much, Andrei, for being with us today. Great pleasure, as always.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.